TH. Yeah. Why am I talking so much about, you know, the Ukraine and this and that, and warring boys and girls up there? Well, because it's really about hitting the people who are out there getting killed and hurt and, you know, coming back with one eye missing and some limbs missing and spending the rest of their lives in wheelchair and, you know, or not coming back at all and leaving their beloved ones heartbroken. That's what it's about, this war thing. We should look at that and not at the leaders up there in their comfortable seats. Is this good or is this bad, this guy? As if, you know, this kind of celebrity worship has taken over. And I guess, you know, you have media there and all the, you know, you have Trump there playing the clown and he knows how to charm media, right? That's how he became a president. But maybe there's another higher purpose to it, you know? I mean, we just... Again, I can't look at this guy, that girl, that lady, and say they are the good ones, they are the bad ones. It's a big dynamic of many people involved, including ourselves. And if some clown, I mean, some of those that I respect and consider intelligent today and level-headed, they joined up behind Trump, which was kind of surprising to me. Like Tulsi Gabbard, Robert Kennedy, F. Kennedy Jr., and Elon Musk. So, I mean, when I listen to Trump, I can hardly stand listening to him. I mean, his babblings. And I mean, sometimes, you know, this kind of common sense guy shines through there, but I can't figure him out. But, you know, what matters is which one of those, if any, would make a difference between, you know, peace and war, would make more peace and less war. I think that's what we should look at, not who belongs to the right party or smiles the nicest and behaves the coolest, or, you know. I mean, we need to wake up. We really need that, because if we don't, if we just remain sleeping and ignorant and then expect, oh, our fine government will take care of it, or, you know, it's nothing to do, we can do about it anyway. Well, you know, it may hit us, you and me, in the face. So we are involved too. We are part responsible. I mean, we're living in democracies, right? And if not, well, then it's just the government who's responsible for democracy. Then you and I are responsible. So what to do? Well, back to Ukraine. The risk the way I see it today, day before the magical, mystical election over in the West, is that, well, obviously, I mean, as obvious as anything can be if you open your eyes, Russia is completely defeating Ukraine. They are finished. And their leader is, I mean, I feel sorry for the guy. I mean, he can't handle it. He's breaking down mentally. He's saying outright insane things, you know, give us nuclear weapons and we will nuke the Russian. I mean, he wants to make a world war. And what's even crazier is that there are still countries in Europe, of all places, who are on his side, you know, take nuclears and nuke the Russians back to the Stone Age. I don't know what they're saying in their parties. And off the screen meetings. But that's how it seems, that something like that is going on. And people who seem to have lost connection with reality. I mean, literally. Because the reality is obviously, I mean, even my kids can understand that. They're not kids anymore, my young sons. When we speak about this, it's just insane, irresponsible, out of touch to even consider in a situation like this to give nuclear weapons to one side in a, after all, local conflict. I mean, those, and when I grew up, you know, Russia and Ukraine were just the same. I have friends from Russia, friends from Ukraine, and they never showed anything else than, well, you know, we're from the Soviet Union, we're kind of Russian. But then, you know, things happen, it divided up and this and that, and which is, of course, also what the Western powers always try to promote, dividing up of other, especially large competitor countries. So you could just look at what's going on today and what, some history, and you will see that going on. You only need to look kind of on the little countries around the big countries. Just on the, you know, next to the border. But suddenly there is a color revolution in one of those. Wham, wham, nice name. Where did that name come from? Which, I mean, to me and many others, I noticed, means the CIA planned the revolution, and then that's the way it goes. And so, but even if you can't see or accept that as a possible fact, then, you know, we're not talking about a huge empire somewhere on the planet that just goes over to some other country somewhere where they can, you know, just take it over, place, the government kill them or throw them out. Put their own government in and invade and militarily take over in order to get, you know, oil or whatever nice natural resources there may be there. Even though, of course, we are told that that's what's going on in this case. Well, I kind of could make a list of other cases with other large empires on Earth involved that are more obvious and unarguable examples of that. Here it's even a little bit more complicated because, you know, we have a people which is kind of almost one people, but then, you know, and then they're mixed with each other, and in the eastern Ukraine they are Russians, ethnic and Russian speaking and Russian supporting, and they were treated badly by those in the West where there are some Nazi and all racist or whatever they are, heavy guys, which of course now some just try to pretend they don't exist and they never existed. You know what they're talking about, conspiracy theory. But you know, these kind of, you start digging into it, not just accepting by default that which you hear on mainstream media as truth. Normally, at least for us Swedes, that would have been considered just ordinary cultured respect for our dear government, who are working hard to take care of us and are doing a good job. You know, that's how my father used to talk in the 60s, 70s, when we youngsters start to become revolutionaries, anti-Vietnam War and all of that, which was a big thing in the 70s here. And I was kind of one of them, if not in action, so in spirit. And that's what we, most of us, were. Because we read books and we discussed and try to be engaged and informed and awake. That was a big thing here then. And if you just sat down smoking pot or something or drinking too much, and they used to shake you up. Hey, you know, you're sinking down into passivity and sleep again. Wake up. And that's what we, many here, are saying now, using this YouTube, which is so, I mean, all these online media are so useful now. And I would say taking our responsibility could include something as simple as starting your own YouTube channel. Or supporting this one or those like this one, which means you're part of making a YouTube channel, and your opinions and input and ideas will also be listened to. So you go on to Patreon here and so on. Anyway, so yeah. And then, you know, as of today, day before the fantastic election in the empire of the next emperor or empress. I'm standing here wondering, you know, what's going to happen? Because the big ones in the West, they say, no nukes or long-distance missiles to you, because then it's going to pull us into it, because they have to be operated by us. That means we are attacking them inside their country, and they have told us clearly they will attack us back. And we know what that means. Heavy dealings. That can easily. And we had to wake up to that fact also. Easily. Unless you got some real good thoughts coming from the hearts of some who decide, no, we're not going to push the button. But that button may be very, very ready to be pushed. And some say, if they push it, in maybe a few days, 72 hours or something, our planet will basically be inhabitable, uninhabitable, as you say. And we will slowly or quickly die, if we're not already dead, living in the big cities, especially in those two nations. And maybe those who decided to join on either side of them, such as my nice little country of Sweden, which was neutral just till about a year or two ago, when some politicians here just decided to not be neutral anymore, but join the NATO. Getting the US military bases here, where they can have nukes. So, that is one option which is not unrealistic, which is quite realistic. The other one is accepting the reality now, and also accepting the reality, which I consider reality, because the leader and leaders of Russia are saying it over and over again, that they have no ambition invading the Western Ukraine, because people there don't like them, they're different. They just wanted to protect their people in the Eastern Ukraine, which they now have done by conquering that part. And therefore, you know, when a nation conquers parts of the land of another nation in warfare, such as the old kings did, then that part belongs to them when the others surrender. That's kind of what war is about. Now, the problem is that this, whatever drugs he's on, comedian who they put as, the Americans put as, now the actual dictator of Ukraine, because they don't have any elections, any democratic elections anymore. He says, okay, we will, you know, surrender our peace, but on one condition, that all the land that Russia has conquered will be given back to us. It's insane. Completely insane. Your leader who doesn't understand what surrender means and what it means to lose a war. Anna therefore just continues throwing in more and more people, young men, to die, because that's what they do. It's just a matter of time. So that's what the Russians say, as far as I understand it. You know, if we stop it, and they have said it all along, we stop it now. Ukraine remains neutral, and now I guess it's a matter of change of government, democratic elections. But in their constitution, neutrality, which is, I think, the obvious good and natural thing. And that's what Russians wanted from the first day, and which they already had started to, they had drafted an agreement that both parties were ready to sign. We spoke about that last time, right? And then I speak to friends in Sweden who can't see all this. They don't know that. They think that one day Russia just decided, now we're going to conquer Europe. Yes, we're going to conquer Ukraine, and then we'll continue into Poland, and then, you know, Finland and Sweden, and yeah. I mean, even that thought is insane. And Putin says, you know, why should we absolutely know reason or plan to invade Poland or anything, any other countries. We have a big country, can't you see? We have enough. And we have our cooperation here in BRICS with other, you know, with China and India and so many countries. We are doing fine. Come and visit us. And he didn't say that, but that's basically, you know. I mean, American journalist, what's his name? Tucker Carlson, going there, speaking to Putin, who spoke for hours, you know, video you can see online where he explained the whole thing and history about Ukraine and Russia, and which made sense. And then you have Americans, oh, he's just lying, he's lying. But, you know, but then Tucker Carlson says, he kind of is awestruck, sounds like that, at how nice Moscow is, and its subway, and the, you know, the standard of living, which I also hear from Americans who went to China, and which I also felt when I went to China. So they are doing fine over there in the East. They don't need us anymore, Europe and America, okay? And they're just asking, could you please stop with all these stupid color revolutions and proxy wars, now trying in Georgia, now that Taiwan down there, and that this and that, you know, now it's Bangladesh. It's ridiculous. Everyone can see that. Because when you know, you may have a smart political trick, a plan, or a military, you know, operation thing, a power play trick. Think, ah, this works every time. We can just continue with it. we don't like Libya. Do it there, bam, wham, bam, Iraq and Syria. And I just read a book today. I can put a link down there where the author says, I have to check the facts, but and gives a list of a whole bunch of such invasions that the U.S. have been doing, you know, for the past couple of years or so in Africa that we don't even know about. So there may be a lot of hidden figures here too. And as far as I understood, this is a way of US politicians to make themselves a name. It's easy when you do something wow over in another country. Look what I did to spread democracy and freedom. I killed that leader in that little, what's it called again, country there in Africa. And I, me, you know, cocktail party and all that. And I, you know, I put another leader there, which, you know, is a friend of ours. And look what how good it is for our business. Now we get cobalt and we get whatever to our industry here. Oh, yeah, clap, 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 dust the industrialists. But, you know, this has been going on since the British so-called colonialists under and conquer. So, I mean, we should have learned to see that by now. And I think many, many of us can see when it's going on. Because it always looks the same. And that's what happened in Ukraine, too. And if you can't see that, what happened there in 2014, look at Oliver Stone's film, Ukraine on Fire. It just tells it, the facts, the documentary material. It's just clear. It was a coup instigated by the Americans. And if you don't believe me, then just look at that film. I mean, he made the JFK movie. He made, you know, he's a respectable director. But that's not the point. The point is that he presents documentary material that, as far as I could see and have seen so far, and can testify to, can be verified when you check the facts. Not just if you listen to the fact checkers. Who are the fact checkers anyway? The people who said, we check the facts for you and we tell you this is false and this is true. Thank you very much. And I know. So, you know, we can't get away from it. We need to check the fact. We need to wake up. We need to look a little what's going on. And at least so that we can decide not necessarily which side to vote for or follow, but just so we don't follow anything that any leader, good or bad or whatever, tells us to do, which will cause suffering for people on this planet. Whether it is a sanction against a poor country somewhere. I mean, just look at Cuba. How long has that been going on there? With the people, the families down there, you know, on the ground, have been suffering. Well, I learned that they managed to become self-sufficient, and that's, I guess, the blessing in disguise with these sanctions, that they push these sanctioned nations to, you know, get their own domestic capital together and strength, which actually it's getting clearer and clearer that such sanctions, you know, they are like throwing bomb carpets over a country because they hit the civilians everywhere in the whole country. Because when that country is not allowed to, you know, export, import to others, they lose their income, they lose important products and resources that their people need. Like, I mean, if there will be sanctions against Sweden, we would starve, because we're depending at this time on imported food. You know, it's a very heavy reality causing real suffering to many innocent, ordinary people like you and me. So that's what I'm talking about, to see, is my nation, is that prime minister or that party that I vote for, or president, going to do that, going to uphold such sanctions? You know, there are, you know, the big ones over there in the West, if you would look up online how many sanctions they are upholding and have, you know, enforced, you could say, upon countries in the world, you would be surprised. So, but we need to be aware of that, and that is one example of supporting the ones who work for peace and work for cooperation rather than fighting. Yes, competition and trying to be better than the others, but not by trying to hurt the others or push them down or destroy them, make war against them. You know, it's simple, actually. And I think most of us, we can see that. And I'm just trying to explain with my little limited perspective and knowledge here. You may have a much better knowledge and perspective. You describe it from where you see it. And when there are plenty of channels like this, where we help each other to get a clear picture and to make our right decisions next time we go voting or not voting or by any action, passive or active, support that which actually causes suffering and starvation and trouble to other people. Whether it is by putting them into war or by exploiting them. And therefore, I mean, just to finish off for today, I honestly and seriously have hope in BRICS. And why I have hope in BRICS, I'll tell you my next time here.